So, Brian, how can my real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge?
You need to start using HDPhotoHub.com. All you do is upload your photos and your clients get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically.
That sounds pretty good. So how do I get started?
Well, it's pretty easy, Rich. All you do is register at HDPhotoHub.com. If you use the referral code SHOOTINGSPACES, you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free.
Free?
I did say free.
Okay.
HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz from New York.
And we want to welcome you to this week's episode of Ask the Guys. And as we always do, I just want to a little back and forth. Brian, how are you? How is New York in this time
New
of year?
New York is good. March is here. So I'm pretty excited. It's starting to pick up. Last week was busy. This week gets even more. And the calls are starting to come in. So I think we're finally turning that corner. I don't want to jinx it, but I think the corner is finally turning. So it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, we got rain, man. We got we're scheduled for in 3 days to get up to 8 feet of snow in the mountains, and great for my skiing. But it is going to be. I know what's going to happen. Everybody's canceling, and what's going to happen is once it clears up, it's going to be a mass calls to get out there and shoot everything. So I shot one today, though, in the pouring rain, but it worked out perfectly for me. So, you know, I tell people, don't give it up before you can make it happen, because always...
Did you pull out the hydrophobia?
Oh, no, I didn't need that. No, I only use that rain cover when I'm shooting Spartans or outdoors in a wedding or something, where I'm literally shooting out in the rain for hours on end, because a lot of people replied back to that. I made a YouTube video about the hydrophobia from Think Tank, and a lot of them are saying, oh, my camera's waterproof. I don't need this. I don't need that. And I'm like, guys, I'm sorry to tell you this, and I don't want to be the guy that's like, you don't know what you're talking about, but you don't know what you're talking about, because if you tried shooting in pouring rain with no rain cover for 6 hours, as I've done many times, it ain't good. It ain't a good thing. So, anyway, but have you ever shot in the rain a long time, Brian?
I mean, I've shot in drizzle, but if it's really, really raining, I don't go out. Yeah. You know, I've shot with a little umbrella over the camera, but I try not to go out if it's really bad out there. Okay.
And I don't have any, unfortunately, I don't have any feedback on the Sony platform, the mirrorless platform, as far as I know that all my lenses are weather sealed. But somehow I get the impression the Sony is not going to be able to, I don't think I can hammer in nails like I can with my old Nikons. Beat them up. I just don't think the Sony's going to be quite as robust, let's say. But we'll see on that one after this winter. So,
no, for sure. And I also want to say, if anybody did not listen to last week's episode with Cloud Pano, take a listen. It's an awesome episode. Talking about an awesome software. I had a meeting today. I can't get into the details, but I had a meeting today with a client, and we figured out a revolutionary way to use these 360 panos. So everyone go back and take a listen to that. It's an awesome software, and you can do some really cool revolutionary things with these 360s.
Oh, I'm you know, it's so funny. New technology. My brain starts just reeling, going, oh man, what can I could use this to do this or use it to do that? It's really exciting. Very, very looking forward to the future. Okay. So, Brian, why don't you tell us what's going on today with, I spoiled it and said, ask the guys, but what do we got going on?
We have another Ask the Guys question from Harriet, who has asked the guys before, a couple months
Harriet.
Back when we first started back. She's actually out of Brooklyn in my neck of the woods. And I'll play it for you.
When we love repeat offenders. We love people. Even if you've done it, ask the guys before, call us up and do it again. We love doing this. And it's a great filler sometimes between our interviews and things like that. So,
yeah, for sure. All right, here we go.
Hey, guys. My name is Harriet, and I am an architectural photographer based in New York. My website is haphotography.nyc. Thank you so much for taking my second Ask the Guys question. I really, really do appreciate it. So I'm seriously considering swapping my Nikon D750 and all my gear for a mirrorless camera kit. I re-listened to the episode where Rich talked about his switch over to Sony, and I found that extremely helpful. However, since then, both Canon and Nikon have released their latest mirrorless cameras. So I was curious to hear your thoughts about these new releases, if you think mirrorless is a good option for photographing architecture, and any updated advice you might have on making the switch. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Harriet. Appreciate the second question, especially from a neighbor from me. I'm not mirrorless yet, as I'm sure you've heard me say many times.
Well, you do have a mirrorless camera.
I do have, my backup is mirrorless. That is true. Yeah. So let me
just not
that.
A new cool
exactly.
Mirrorless.
It's I do have my backup camera is a Canon M5, which is equivalent to I think the 80D or something like that.
The Nikon Z, I think it was kind of the same thing.
Yeah, something like that. But that is my backup, but I don't use that on a day-to-day basis. So I don't consider myself a mirrorless shooter. Although I do know, I don't think, I know that in the future I will be using mirrorless. But the last time we did that episode that you spoke of, when you switched from Nikon to Sony, I think you were maybe 2 weeks in. So you were just at the beginning stages of your transition, Rich. Now you've been at it probably, what, 5-6 months at this point?
Gosh, so, yeah. Long time.
You definitely have more insight on the switch and using a mirrorless for the type of work we do. So I guess I'll throw it to you and let you start this off and then see where we go with it.
Sure. Well, Harriet, my dear, thank you for checking back with us. We love repeat offenders, as I said, and be free to anybody. Send us an Ask the Guys and we'll answer it if we can. And this is a good one. And thank you. It's right up my alley because I'm still on the honeymoon stage of moving to Sony. Although I've been shooting Sony for 3 years now with my A6000, which is a crop sensor camera, primarily for real estate. And also I brought it to Africa. That was my Africa camera, which kind of a mistake. I needed my big Nikon lenses, but I love mirrorless and I am really, really happy now with my A7 III. I have two of them and now I have all Sony glass and I am just thrilled with it. And I think it's a wonderful choice for anybody. And I will address going from Nikon to Sony or Canon to Sony or whatever you want to do. But I think the main thing is to look at it as, is going to mirrorless good, right for you, or is it not right for you? So I think that the term mirrorless is a better way of looking at it, because even though Sony, it really does have the handle on the lenses now. That's funny because Sony for years didn't have a lot of lenses for their mirrorless or any of their cameras. And now Sony's got all the lenses and Nikon and Canon are just playing catch up. So they've released a couple of quote unquote mirrorless lenses. So you don't need an adapter. But those lenses are far from a top of the line. They're kind of like just nice kit lenses. 1.8 instead of 1.4 or, you know, something really, really, it's more like a zoom lens that would be a 3.5 to a 5.6 aperture. So they're just getting it together. And, you know, I will kind of cut to the chase, though, and say, honestly, and I've heard some really wonderful things about the Nikon. I haven't heard as many things about Canon, but that's not to say, it's just I haven't heard about it. But I will say that I think that it's safe to say I would, it's because it's now 6 months into Nikon. I think maybe not even 6 months, but it's been out for a while, the Nikon and the Canon mirrorless. And I've got some feedback that it is pretty good. So it's going to be solid. They're missing a few whistles and bells, but one of them is like eye autofocus. I guess Nikon and Canon do not have eye autofocus, which is an unbelievable advancement in photography. So I can just set the focus to the eye. I can choose either left or right eye, and it will absolutely follow my subject like a wedding or whatever and go down the aisle and just be right on the bride's left eye or right eye. And it's unbelievable. But for architecture or real estate, we don't really have to deal with that type of focus or intense focus requirements at all. So I know that these both Nikon and Canon have come out with adapters so you can adapt your native glass. And that is a huge deal because it costs a lot of money, I know, to go get Sony glass if you're changing platforms. But so I think that mirrorless is absolutely the way to go because electronic viewfinder, if you're not familiar with that term or not familiar with what it is, I'd certainly say to go to your camera shop and see what it is. It's like real live view that, you know, Nikon has live view, but this is live view that actually works and actually is something you can use every day. And really, really, it's just a game changer because I see real time exposure preview that you would see in live view in Nikon, but you really can't focus in live view. I guess the D850 is supposed to be pretty good in that respect, but it's just a whole new ball game. So you got live, you've got exposure preview, which is really important for what we shoot. You've got your Nikon, you could use your existing lenses, I think. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure you can use your existing lenses with an adapter. And if you have tilt shifts, because you're an architectural photographer, you can use tilt shifts, which I used to have the 24 and I got the 19. But I will say one thing. If you have not gone to the 19 or to tilt shifts with Nikon, I think that the 19 tilt shift was great, although it was $3,500, which was a lot. And I am so very happy with my Sony tilt shifts. I've got the 17 and the 24 with Canon. What's that?
Canon tilt shifts, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have the Canon tilt shifts. Yeah. Sure. No, Sony doesn't have tilt shifts. Exactly. I don't think they're going to be making it. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ryan.
I can see people running to the computer. Sony has tilt shifts?
Yeah. Well, Rich said they do. No. Yeah. Never listen to Rich. So I use a Sigma MC11 adapter, and it's manual focus, so it's not a big deal, but it was like $140 for the adapter. And the Canon lenses are half the price. The 17 is half the price of the 19 Nikon. So if you were thinking of moving to if you wanted to add tilt shifts or you didn't have a big stable of lenses for Nikon, I would say that's an opportunity to go to Sony because the Canon tilt shifts work great. You're actually going to save money by probably buying a Sony camera and getting a Canon tilt shift and an adapter. You will save money than going and just buying a Nikon tilt shift. So that's kind of a roundabout way of looking at this whole switch. But I will say that the Nikon platform, the D750, I had them. I had three of them. They were great cameras, and I got to put in the caveat when they were not in recall or when they worked. But I still say that they're great cameras, and I can only assume that the mirrorless camera will also be good. And I think that you should check out mirrorless. And if you got a bunch of Nikon lenses, stay with Nikon, and I'm sure they will catch up. It's just a matter of time. So there you go.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think it's just a matter of time. Like you said, I think that the Nikon Z series and the Canon R, which is what's out now, are great. I guess if you want to call it first go arounds, although I know, Canon has been doing some mirrorless for some time. My M5 that I have, I think, is a year and a half years old at this point, or 2 years old. So they have been dabbling in it, but I think their R is their first real go around at some sort of professional level camera. For me, I am just not there yet. I'm a Canon user. I'm not sold on the R yet. I will be switching eventually just because it's just the nature of the beast. I'm going to have to switch eventually. I'm using the Mark IV. I'm more than happy with it. The stuff I'm getting out of it is incredible. But I think when Canon releases their next version of the R, I'm not sure. I've heard sometime early this year. Who really knows? No one really knows. And they fix up a couple of things that I think were lacking from the R from a professional standpoint. There's no doubt in my mind that we'll be switching. I'll be selling my Mark IV, buying that. Hopefully, like you said, Rich, I can put a couple of bucks in my pocket on the savings. But even if I get rid of my Mark IV and buy the new professional level Canon, whatever comes out with, and I have to spend a little bit of out of my pocket to upgrade the camera, that's worth it for me because mirrorless is the future. The EVF, as you said, Rich, is
game changer for me.
Yeah, it's priceless. I mean, look, you know, I use the Cam Ranger with Live View, so it's kind of similar in that sense. But and in the same sense, you know, I feel like the Cam Ranger Live View is very similar to the back of the screen Live View, except you're using a much bigger screen, whether it's the iPad or your laptop, to view it. So that's a very big game changer when you're looking at it that size versus the back of your LCD screen.
And until the Cam Ranger 2 comes out, it's actually a nice choice to stay with Nikon or Canon, because I don't know if even though they work with the Cam Ranger yet. But they will. But Cam Ranger hopefully comes out with the 2, and that will work with Sony. Because the Sonys, I will say, have been having, there are issues with, especially the A7 series, A7 R3 and the A7 III has a problem with the built-in Wi-Fi. It's I'm using a Wi-Fi extender. It's a real cockamamie convoluted thing. We've got to get a Wi-Fi extender to make it work right. So it's an issue. But Cam Ranger hopefully will come out, and then it'll be great to use again.
Sure. Yeah. And I think the best thing, Harriet, to do potentially, if you're considering, I mean, if you're Nikon, you're obviously considering switching to either one of the Nikon Zs or a Sony. I'm guessing you're not going to go through this process to switch to a Canon R. That doesn't make much sense.
No.
But the best thing I would do, I would advise you to do, is go and rent it for a week. Spend whatever it is. It can't be that expensive. A couple $100 to rent it for a week. Or even a day or two, and go out and, you know, take it on a shoot and see how it works. And, you know, if you're not comfortable delivering shots off this to a paying client, you know, do the shots you need to do with your D750, and then go in and say, hey, you know, can I take 15 minutes to just get some shots with a new camera I'm considering purchasing? And I don't think anyone's going to tell you no, especially if you offer to give them the shots. So, you know, practice with it, see if you like it, see if you're happy with the results, and that might sway your decision in itself, just, you know, using it.
And a couple of other things to stay with Nikon, in my opinion, would be you're familiar with the menu system. And I will say that moving to Sony, and I moved to Sony right in the middle of wedding season. And weddings are a little different than shooting real estate or architecture as far as focusing and knowing your camera. But it was quite a challenge, even for me. I spent hours and hours and hours on YouTube, and I just tested and tested and tested. So staying with Nikon, menu system is going to be, I can only imagine, it's a wonderful thing. The other thing, too, is, you know, you may want to think of, I hate to sway you away from mirrorless, but boy, if I was an architectural, the one thing I miss from leaving Nikon is I would have loved to have tried and shot the Nikon D850. I think that's supposed to be just an unbelievable camera especially for architecture and where you want to really have megapixels, you know, there. That would be something for me. So I think I'd love to have a mirrorless and a D850. But,
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Rich, I mean, what's your opinion? Obviously, no one knows the future, but does it pay at this point, the way technology is, for someone to start thinking of investing and upgrading their DSLR?
Well, DSLRs are only good for 2 years. I mean, what is a DSLR? 3 years at most?
So exactly.
You know, it's no, I mean,
I guess so.
The platform, yeah, no, I wouldn't go, if I was getting into cameras right now from zero, no, I'd definitely go to mirrorless. But if I was invested in Nikon, I would certainly, again, when I tell people I'm not Nikon anymore, I'm not going to rip on Nikon. I just had a lot of really bad experiences with Nikon, the equipment and the company. So I'm not going to go there. But I'm just saying, if you're happy with your DSLRs, and one other thing to think about, for me, and with all the G Master or the professional Sony lenses, it is almost not any lighter. Going to mirrorless, there is no real weight savings unless there's size savings. The body is a little smaller and thinner, but weight wise, unless you're going to the primes and not even the top primes, because the top primes are pretty heavy too. So there's not that, you know, a lot of people go, oh, I just want to go lighter, so I'll go mirrorless. Well, that's not exactly true in my opinion. So there are some weight reasons to go to it, but other reasons, you know what? If you're happy with your DSLR, Nikon DSLR, I'd say stay with it and wait until the Nikon gets their act together fully, or just go get it now, you know, and then rent it, like you said. So,
No, for sure. No, but that's true. I mean, look, I got my Mark IV probably, I don't know, a little under a year ago, probably last spring. And the Canon R wasn't released at the time. But had it been already released, I probably would not have went with the Mark IV and probably would have gotten the R at that point and made the switch.
But the Mark IV, in my opinion, and I'm not a Canon guy, from what I know and people I've talked to, the Mark IV was never a groundbreaking camera. And the I think the D850 is a groundbreaking camera, although I've never even shot one, but I've seen stuff.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about the Nikon series. Yeah. And yes, the Mark IV is not groundbreaking. You know, there are upgrades from the Mark III, especially in the video standpoint, as far as 4K and other things. But yeah, it's not revolutionary, whereas there are a lot of features going from a DSLR to a mirrorless, that EVF being the biggest one, that are, I guess, revolutionary to someone who's not used to that.
I think the biggest thing for me in mirrorless is almost not even real estate or architecture or shooting buildings, shooting stationary things. I think the biggest thing for me is moving to sports and to weddings and to portraits and things like that. I think that's where I'm really loving the mirrorless, and it's really helping me. So, and as you said, if you're tethered with CamRanger, you're not really noticing as big a difference not having an EVF, because you really do have an EVF there. But you know, that's just if it's strictly for real estate or architecture, then maybe not so much.
Exactly. I think the best thing, Harry, to do is rent one and see if you like it and see if you're comfortable with it. And if it works for you, then go for it. And if, you know, you don't feel yourself, if your mind is not blown, if you want to say it that way, then stick it out and wait for, you know, Nikon to improve their game a little until they release the next versions, which I'm sure is going to be sometime in 2019 or probably sometime in 2019 towards the end of the year. Excuse me. And then, you know, bite the bullet at that point.
I would totally wait, though. If I was happy with Nikon right now, with my camera set up right now, I don't think there's any reason to buy the first version of this. I think that there's so many little things, even like dual card slots. I mean, how can they come out, both Nikon and Canon, did they get together and have a meeting and go, hey, let's really screw up. Let's just do single card slots. I mean, I'm sorry. And no eye autofocus. I mean, this two little things that are huge deals, and in my opinion. So I would just wait to see what's coming up. But, you know, again, I think that, and also they just don't have these quality lenses. And here's one thing I will say, like Sony trying to use Nikon or Canon glass on Sony with an adapter is very good. Not great with Nikon, but very good with Canon. The only problem is, I will tell you, if you're like a wedding photographer or a sports photographer, you cannot, you might someday, you know, sunny days, you might get by with adaptive lenses, you know, the best lenses with an adapter, and that would come in with the Sony mirrorless. But I'll tell you, I can't imagine in every condition, they're going to fall short in focus speed and in reliability. So I would say, you know, you're not going to have native glass for Nikon or Canon. So that's something, a big one to think about, not necessarily for real estate photography or architectural, but for other types of photography. I think that is a really big deal, and why I went to all native Sony lenses, just because I've tried the others and I just wasn't happy.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Harriet, I hope that helped a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We've given her enough to, now she doesn't have any clue of what to do. So
exactly. Happens.
But go out and rent it. That's really the bottom line, what Brian said, is go out and rent one. Mm-hmm. It'd be fun too.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right, Rich.
Awesome.
Well, we want to thank you, Harriet, for submitting your question, and just remind everyone on our website, you can go and submit and ask the guys. Just record 90 seconds. And if you can't, for some reason, do it through our website, you can do it on your phone and email it to us, text it to me. However, you want to get us some sort of question, can send it to us, except for typing in an email, because we have gotten a few of those and we've responded to just please record it, because I think part of the whole catch here and the importance of it is so people can actually hear what you're asking instead of us just reading the question off an email. So, you know, submit those. We need some more questions for you guys.
Yeah. And please, everybody, check out Shooting Spaces, the blog, shootingspaces.net. And we're we're just kind of moving along here with this Shooting Spaces kind of thing. Really digging it. So thank you, Brian, for starting it. Yeah. And
thank you for joining me in this this long, year-long journey at this point. We just started in March, and I think we released the first episode the end of February last year or something like
over
that.
A year.
So we've been over a year now.
Okay. Well, listen, everybody, be sure whatever you're doing, man, go out there and shoot some darn spaces, right, Brian?
Okay. Shoot them away.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye, guys.
This episode of Shooting Spaces has been brought to you by HDPhotoHub.com. Helping your real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge. Just upload your photos and your clients get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically. Register today at hdphotohub.com using referral code SHOOTINGSPACES to get your first property marketing kit absolutely free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's hdphotohub.com.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.